warrior, which he is. And one day I will be like him. And I'm working on it now. I'm really working on it now and doing what I can. So I'm trying to be a positive role model for my people, for children, people of my race, and also other races, you know, a good positive role model.
What are your final words for Indian country?
My final words for Indian country is just keep fighting. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep praying. Keep practicing our culture, our religion, spirituality, everything. Language. Language is the biggest thing. And I'm at fault at that myself. I don't know any of my languages fluently. And I plan on changing that myself. And right now, my son is learning Choctaw, which my mom fluently speaks Choctaw. That was her first language before English. So I think I need to do that just for everybody, our future generations. You know, I need to learn that and learn my other languages as well. It's very important because if not, it's going to die. Our elders, you know, they're not going to be here much longer. And that's going to be my last thing is take care of your elders. Watch after them. Talk to them. Listen to their stories, you know. They've been through a lot and they're here. They're still here. A lot of them went through the whole boarding school thing, which is horrible. You hear their stories and it's sad. It's sad and it's disheartening, you know, but also it's a thing to help you. This is what they went through. You know, when you think you have these problems and, you know, you're like, oh, well, but just think about that, what they went through, you know, like the things that they had to go through. Just keep on pushing. That's all I say. Just keep on pushing and try to live your life positive and watch out for your elders and also our children, you know. Think about our children and think about how you act around our children as well because they're learning from us. Lead by example and try to be a good leader in Indian country and my life and be a good mother for my son so I can raise a good Native man. It's hard out there being a minority in this country, especially right now, So got to do it for our children.
Well, thank you for sitting down and talking about these topics. This is Clay River again from the Early College Academy at the Native American Youth and Family Center in Northeast Portland. We're airing from KBOO Radio. Today's show is called Thanks-Taking, and I have a NAIA employee with me now, and we're going to be talking about what this upcoming holiday means to us. Thank you for being with me today, Manny.
Let me introduce myself. My name is Manuel Mose. I'm a Klamath and Navajo native. I grew up here in Portland, and I work at the NAIA Family Center. Been formally incarcerated. I did almost 18 years in prison, and I've been out for a little over 3 years now. I'm enjoying what I do. I help house homeless families for the NAIA Family Center. I also teach Rent Well, and I'm just trying to be involved as much as I can.
So what does Thanksgiving or Thanks-Taking mean to you?
I grew up in a household that we always knew that we were Natives, and so we always knew the true story behind Thanksgiving story. So I understood from a very young age that this story wasn't exactly accurate, that the story was more about people who were starving and they were invaders and they were starving, and then the people on the East Coast who were generous people decided to go feed them. The thanks part of it was that they gave them diseases and then went in and shot them and killed them and did all the things that they do is people that don't have any kind of way.
My name is Angel. I am from the Biak people in Alaska. I attend the Early College Academy at the Native American Youth and Family Center in Portland, and I am interviewing Virgil.
Good afternoon, or good morning, or whatever it is. My name is Virgil Bravrock. My Indian name is Ninoch Giayo. Itatoto na Gana iskapa pekani. Itatoto na Hitsitsipika. My name is Virgil Bravrock. I'm from the Blackfeet tribe, Kainai tribe in Alberta, Canada. My clan is the Water People Clan. My role here at NEA is I'm a youth advocate working for the, I'm also a high school instructor here at ECA with NEA. And my role here is, I guess, trying to make cultural awareness, or they bring that awareness also here. That's who I am. So what do you got for me?
Got a few questions. What do you think about Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving is a farce. Okay? Now I'll tell you why. Now this is my learning of Thanksgiving. When Columbus was lost and he stumbled upon our land and we found his people starving, they landed in the fall of that year. Our Native American people from the Eastern tribes took his people in who were sick at the time, and they nursed Columbus's crew back to health. The whole purpose of Columbus's journey was to find three things. One of them was silk, the other one was gold, and the other one was slaves. When he landed, he didn't find the silk that he was seeking in India. He didn't find the gold because they didn't have the means of looking for gold in that area. What they found was Native American people. So for him, he figured, I found some slaves. So what he did at that time is that the Native American people that nursed him through that whole year and helped these people survive, the winters in those years were very hard in the East. The Native American people helped these people survive. The following year, when he went back to his country in Spain, he brought three Native American men back with him and showed them, these are what we have available over there as slaves, possible slaves. They came back and they start beginning in slavery type policy on Native American people in those years. The Native American people that they captured, if the Native American tried to run, they would cut the back of their foot here so they couldn't run. Do you realize they wanted them to work? So if they cut those, they realized they couldn't run. If the Native American people tried to fight back in any kind of war and kind of way, they would cut a hand off. Because they couldn't take all these Native American people back with them because they're still enslaving them, they brought them to their people and they showed them all these hands and feet that they had taken off and said, this is what we've done. And they were seen as victorious over our people. The Native American people at that time began fighting back against this policy. So that year, that fall when Thanksgiving came, books have told a lie, and this is why I talk about Thanksgiving as a farce. The only Native American people that were at that table with those pilgrims, none of them were at the table sitting and eating. They were servants that were serving those pilgrims. No chiefs and no queens of our people sat among them. All we had was those ones that were captured serving them at the table with the foods that our Native American people had taught them how to cook. And that was the turkey and the corns and the squashes and the beans from those people that they had introduced to the pilgrims how to grow. Because those people came here without that knowledge about our country and what we've, as that those years, those of our people in the East Coast knew how to grow. So when we talk about Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving is a farce. What the educational system has done, like many, they've told lies to our people, saying that Thanksgiving had all our Indian people in our traditional outfits sitting at the table with the pilgrims eating, was a lie. Thanksgiving is not one of our ceremony, not one of our traditional ceremonies. It is not in any of our songs sung by our people about Thanksgiving. So why the hell do us Indians participate? Sorry about the language, but this is who I am as a Native American, seeing our Indian people trying to celebrate a ceremony or tradition that is not ours and was not created by ours. And this is why other countries, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving. So why are we as Native American people celebrating Thanksgiving? What do we have to celebrate Thanksgiving for the white man coming? We should be instead looking at our own ceremonies in the fall and worrying about those ceremonies and our people. Any other questions?
Are you an activist?
I think all Native American people should be activists. That we should be able to stand up for our rights and be able to express our views openly. An activist to me is someone that's only a label. To me, anyone should be able to openly express their fears and concerns about our Native American culture and how we are losing our culture by the dominant, what we call dominant. They're not dominant. They just have more things than us. Native American people have something that they are trying to gain back, which we are fighting for. And every time we fight for our rights and what we believe is ours, we are labeled as activists. I am voicing my opinion about our oil rights and our land and our water. I'm being labeled as an activist. I should be being labeled as a traditionalist, someone that is fighting for our traditional values and who we are as Native American people, and hoping that this, I instill this in the young people so they can stand up too. And they may be labeled as activists, but in actuality, we are fighting for our Native American culture, our tradition, and the survival of that.
What work are you fighting hard for?
I don't want to call it work, but I am trying to instill a fight or an awakening or an awareness in our young people. What's happening now is that because of technology, because of the influence of the outside world, many of our Native young people are forgetting about their traditions, their culture, their languages, and their heritage. They're letting that bypass them without realization that they are losing their cultures. That many of our young people need to be involved, because eventually we're going to become like, forgive me if I offend others in saying this, but we may become like the white man who says, I don't know where I come from. I don't want to come up to a young Indian man or a young Indian woman someday and say, where are you from? And they say, I don't know. I've already run into people in this city of Portland who have young children. I've come up to them and I said, what kind of Indian are you? And you know what they said? I'm a Portland Indian. Portland Indians do not exist. I'm sorry. There's no such thing as a Portland Indian. Correct. We are Native American people, come from indigenous tribes throughout North America. We are Choctaw. We are Salish. We are Kahwit. We're Blackfeet. We're Sioux. We are from this land with names and tribes. We are not Portlands. We're not Seattle's. We are not San Francisco Indians. We are people who are come from indigenous tribes with names. That's my what I'm fighting for. The ball can be picked up by the young people and say, I am Indian. I am Native American from this country, and these are my people. This is my land.
Is water and land protection important to you?
Can you drink oil?
No.
Can you drink gas?
No.
Can you eat gold?
No.
That's what all the other world wants. When it comes down to it, we need air, we need water, we need this Mother Earth more than we need that. There are other ways of functioning and operating in this world. Every day that sun comes up, that we don't utilize the power of the sun. There are other resources that we can use than what we've become used of. But you got to realize also is that there are huge corporations and organizations out there that continue to fill us. If we don't cooperate with them and use their electricity and their oil and everything else, that we're not going to function. In reality, we can. There are other ways of sustaining ourselves as people, and I believe that it begins with us as Indian people. Water is life. We all need water. You know why I'm saying this? Did you know that you, as a human sitting in front of me right now, your biological makeup, you are made up of 98% of water in front of me. Did you know that?
I didn't know it was 98. I thought it was like a little lower, but...
You are made up a majority of water. Without water, you wouldn't even be sitting there. So liquid water is so important in our function in daily, everyday life. So yeah, water is very important. Oil is not. We can figure out another way that these huge organized corporations do not want you to be aware of.
What do you think is going to happen to the Native people now that Donald Trump is president?
We have been warned by our elders generations back, as far as seven generations back, we were warned that this day was coming. You are the seventh generation. The seventh generation, there was going to be a challenge again for our people to stand up. That seventh generation is here. We as Native American people had to again stand up and let them know that we are here now. But I believe, even though Donald Trump, this began even way before Donald Trump, the challenge of, by the outside world, outside, what I say by the outside world, beyond Native American communities and people, that others have always questioned are who we are in our lands and in the right to our lands, the right to entitlement, as they say, but not realizing that that right has been ours from the beginning of time, that our lands were invaded, our lands were taken from us, and of all the treaties, the 360 treaties that were signed by the Native American government, all of them were broken. All the promises they made were taken from us, except for one, that they said they were going to take our land, and they took it. What's going to happen is that Trump is here, and it's up to the young people now to start expressing their concerns and who they are. As far as we are Native American people, we are here. We're not going away. We're the young people of tomorrow. We're the seventh generation. And we have to stand up for who we are. Am I worried about Trump? I'm worried about Trump as much as our people were worried about Custer. What happened to Custer? Trump has his day coming because he's dealing with a more powerful people who are the Native American people. So, when we look at the flat ground,